An even better Sabbath so far. You know, as most of you know, I've over the past 40 years been in some part of the construction business, you know, one way or another. But recently my daughter came to me wanting to go in together and build a house. So the first thing that we had to do was pick out a good house plan. Then we go and figure out where we're going to build the house. When you're looking for somewhere to build a house, you have to check the ground. Make sure it'll support a good foundation. It needs to have good water drainage. You know, you wouldn't want to put it in a low, swampy spot where the water would run in against it. Make the earth spongy, which will let your foundation then start sinking into the ground, cause cracking and crumbling in the foundation. Your walls begin to pull apart. Floors become wavy and lumpy. And then it'll feel any minute it's just going to all come crumbling down. And when you build a house, you've got to have somebody there to oversee that everything that is built is done according to that plan. You wouldn't turn 10 men loose on the job and let everybody build just whatever they wanted to. Because when you met in the middle, it wouldn't look nothing like the plan. So you got to hire you some good, reliable help. Bring them all together. Go over the plan. Make sure everybody knows where all the walls, the rafters go. Bathroom over here. Kitchen over here, etc. All according to the plan. Then you can start to build. And if your foundation is solid and square, level, and your framing is done according to specs, then all other things will just fall into place like they should. But if you vary from that plan, you get all done, you start to go in, set your tubs in, or your cabinet. Then you figure out your room 6 inches too short. Then you're tearing it all down, starting over. You know, when God created the earth, he had a plan. And he used that plan to create the earth with a good solid foundation that could sustain life, as we can see in everything around us. Everything works together in perfect harmony. The sun rises and sets every day. The moon and stars appear at their appointed time, just like they're supposed to, all according to God's plan. So everybody knows you can read in Genesis 1 about how God created the earth and all that's in it. I want to start over Genesis 6. Genesis 6 and down, starting down in verse 13. It says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." So we can see when God gave Noah instructions for building this ark, he was specific in how he wanted the ark built. Noah didn't argue with God or give his opinion on how he thought the ark should be built. He followed God's instructions to a T. What if Noah took it on himself to change God's plans and built the ark the way he wanted? He might have thought, "Well, I don't need to build it that big." or maybe not made a room for some of his lease, like the animals. And when it was all said and done, it might not even float. But Noah didn't do that. He built the ark just as instructed. You know, as Mr. Dozer pointed out a couple weeks ago, Noah had to be willing to stick with it and see the ark to its completion and stick to the plan that God laid out for him. Now I want to turn over to Matthew 16. Excuse me. I'm doing a remodel. I got a good dose of insulation this week. All right. Matthew 16. And I want to read verse 18. It says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Then I'm going to turn over to Luke 6. Luke 6 and verse 46 says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So as we can see, God used Peter and called him a rock or a solid foundation, a man who would build his church according to his plan, the Bible. He didn't argue with God or try to convince him that his point of view was more right. He went out and taught as he was taught according to God's plan, the Bible. Peter also taught the men God had put under him to teach the same things that Christ had taught him. Peter didn't lay down his own foundation. He built on the foundation God gave him, as have all the apostles God has chosen throughout all the heirs of the church. Now at times, the insides have become a little dilapidated. And how did that usually happen? Came by men not sticking to the plan. They changed this here and that there. By the time it got down to Sardis, what was it? All they had left was the Sabbath, pretty much. But the sure foundation was always there. God's plans are still the same. What did Paul say to the Galatians? Let's turn over to Galatians 1, verse 6. Galatians 1 and verse 6, it says that I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So through history, you know, at times God's house, his church, did become a little dilapidated. So what did he tell us we would do? He said he would raise up a man to go in and restore this house to its former glory. A man of God's choosing, not any man's choosing. And Jesus Christ told us this himself. Malachi 4. We've all read this before. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers." Matthew 17. And verse 10 says, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said to them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. So Jesus Christ did affirm that John the Baptist was indeed an Elijah. But he also prophesied that God would send another Elijah before his second coming, and that this Elijah would restore all things. Jesus also told them this after John the Baptist had already been put to death. We read about that in Matthew 14. You know, I was talking to a young fella here a while back, and he made the comment to me in talking about those scriptures right there, and he said, "You know, we know a lot of people who think they know who the end time Elijah was, but that there was just not enough evidence of that." Well, in my opinion, there's plenty of evidence. You know, by letting the Holy Spirit guide us, we in God's church should be able to discern who it was that God chose to lead this restoration. I ain't got time to go into everything, you know, here, but just a little bit of perspective. In Mr. Herbert Armstrong's 52-year ministry, did God use him to do a mighty work? Was anything restored to God's house, the church, during that time? I would say everything that we have today, seeing that by the time Mr. Armstrong came on the scene, pretty much everything besides the Sabbath had been lost. And if you stop and think about it, with all the tools that God put at his disposal, Mr. Armstrong I'm talking about, you know, first the modern printing presses, radio, TV, computers, and the internet, Mr. Armstrong probably preached the gospel of the coming kingdom of God to more people than all the other prophets and apostles put together. As a matter of fact, that message is still going out around the world today via the internet, even after his death 33 years later. So I guess my question would be, would God's end time servant and apostle, who did such a mighty work, not even be mentioned in Bible prophecy? We have to remember that God is the master builder. We with the master floor plan. How many times did Mr. Armstrong say, don't believe me, believe your Bible? And he always showed us from that master plan the Bible and proved it from there and had us to go and prove it. So we must continue to build as we've been taught. We can't change the floor plan, because when we do, it becomes our house and not God's house.